Hello, everybody. Welcome to Non-Traditional Student. My name is Allison. I am the student. Trying to do better than I did the last few weeks on keeping up with the recording, but to be fair, I had a lot going on, as addressed in the previous episode. I haven't done anything new as far as school. It's spring break this week, but I did get to accomplish my first stage today. I got to stage at Tony Patisserie, and that was pretty awesome. Like, I'm in a minute right now, guys. This is going to be a super short episode. So Tony Patisserie is a 30-year-old patisserie in Hinsdale, Illinois. Tony has been running it the whole time. She is actually apparently about to hit her retirement and is looking to sell the business, which is kind of sad but kind of awesome. Good for her, right? She actually went to school for art, and I forget what exactly is on her website. You could just Google Tony Patisserie Hinsdale, and her story is on there. And she made a career change. Just her husband was in culinary, so she realized she'd rather do pastry and desserts and switched over. So it's kind of a career change for her, just much earlier in life. I will say the pictures she uses online are not recent. They are definitely pictures from the early 90s, mid 90s, not of, you know, now. She was pretty nice, pretty cool. She seems like she'd be wonderful to work for. Her staff all seemed to really enjoy being there for the most part. They had all been there for a couple of years at least. So that's pretty cool. Everyone's very welcoming and friendly. It probably won't sound like getting to do much, but I actually got to do more there than I get to do my actual job, though, where I felt like I was actually doing stuff. Like, at my stage, I got to drop cookies, which is when you drop a cookie into a bowl of icing to coat it. Like, my boss would never do that, but it's a faster, more efficient way to get it done. It's a little sloppier, but it is more efficient. I got to watch the girls decorate. I also got to shave chocolate, which is kind of cool. I need to add that to the resume, actually. I forgot to add that. And then I also got to roll out the dough for galettes. The first batch was a little rough, the first five or six, and then after that, they got a lot better. By the last, six I did, they were pretty good. And I got to chop ginger, and I know to you guys it sounds ridiculous, and it probably sounds like I didn't get to do much, but it was, fascinating to watch everybody, watch the way things move. I got to hear some of her fun ideas, and I really enjoyed it. I talked to Tony a little bit about owning the business. She's like, look, it's a lot of hard work, and you got to be really dedicated. You got to expect not to spend holidays with your family. That's when you want to be at home. And that's usually where people realize this isn't what they want to do. It's when they realize they don't get to have holidays with their family. It's like, yeah, you know, I already knew that was going to be a thing. I count on it. It's something my husband and I have talked about numerous times. It's going to be rough, but we can hopefully make it work. I kind of told her my hopes and dreams for one day, and she was like, wow, that could be a really good idea. The only place it would work is downtown, close to busy restaurants. I was like, I'm aware, but, you know, to even pretend to open up a business down there, you got to have $2 million just waiting. And she's like, I know, I used to have a place down there. And she did. She used to have a place right on Michigan Avenue, real close to all the hotels, and COVID just kind of killed the business there. Apparently, it was actually the busier store on a regular basis, but, you know, Chicago went crazy with COVID, and it along with many small businesses in Illinois, were not able to survive. Even in Iowa, a lot of small businesses all over the United States and probably the world, small business was not treated well by COVID. All these grants and relief programs for business during COVID actually mostly went to large corporations who really didn't need the help. So, you know, thanks Trump and Kim Reynolds and Pritzker, I think, tried a little bit harder in some ways to help during COVID, to help small business and everything. But the fact of the matter is, grants only get you so far, right? Your employees need to work. You need income to pay them. It just comes to a point where there's not much you can do. Let's see, what else? But yeah, I got to talk to Tony, got to talk to all the girls there. It was an interesting array of stories. One of the young ladies there, her mom actually went to Le Cordon Bleu and taught her quite a bit about decorating, but she herself has nothing to do with her mother. Another young lady, she started off cake decorating at Walmart, and just because she needed a job, like, that was it during COVID, and then she really loved it. Now this is what she wants to do for her life, is decorate cakes. Let's see, there's another young lady, like, this is just a job she got out of high school. She's about 20 years old, just got the job out of high school, and everything she's learned there in the last 2 years. So, I also had this really good, refreshing drink. It's called, like, Spring Festival. Ugh, it was so tasty. And she had, the lady who made it for me added caffeine. It was fantastic. But it was a wonderful experience, a wonderful first stage. In the previous episode, I mentioned there was other places I'd very much like to go. Like, I would really like to stage at a more high-end dining place that has a very unique menu versus a very standard menu where you're pretty sure everything that they serve is frozen. And then I would like to do fine dining, not anything insane like a Alenia. I don't want anything to do with that, but you know, just what kind of a more fun dining experience or high-end dining experience than what I call high-end dining. You know, like I mentioned Sepia, I'd really like to go there. I'm still trying to figure out how to get a hold of anyone there. They don't pick up their phone right now, and they don't open till 5, so I'm not sure how you're supposed to just wander in there and ask to talk to their chef. I'm going to ask Ms. Bosco, I think. She's my career advisor. Let's see, what else, guys? Honestly, I might end up just recording this part of the episode, pausing it, and recording more after I start class. Yes, classes start on Monday. I actually even already started my classwork for my online hospitality class. It's environmental hospitality. Sustainable hospitality, I think, is a technical thing. And I'm already just like, oh my God, this is awful. I fully believe in sustainability, don't get me wrong. Like, I got to go on, I mentioned it last week. We got to go to Big Delicious Planet, which is a catering company that is one of the most sustainable. Are you okay? Molly, are you okay? Sustainable places in Chicago as far as a catering company. Actually, it's like one of the most sustainable catering companies in the United States. Molly, stay here. Are you okay? Sorry, my dog is making... She's old. She's 13. She's having a rough time. But yeah, so... You know, I went there. What I found about sustainability is environmentally, it's great. Socially, it's great. Economically, it actually doesn't appear to be all that great. It's not really helping to create jobs. It's not really helping to... you know, save money even. So, you know, there's a little give there. And I think this teacher expects to hear that, like, it's amazing, you save so much money, or I don't know what she expects to hear. But even from doing a little bit of research, it's like, oh, it really doesn't save you anything. So I don't know how you want me to do this. But yeah, that class just looks like it's going to be kind of hard. I really wish it was an in-class class. I think that would be better. I actually hate this class is not available to do in a classroom. It is only available online without waiting until next fall. And I plan on not being there, like, in the building next fall. So there's that. But moving on from there, at home, I haven't really made anything recently. As far as good foods, I did eat at Tony's today. I had a ratatouille galette, and it was really tasty. I enjoyed it. They do savory pastries there as well. That was just good. And then on my way back to my car, because let me tell you, just getting there, it was a trip. But then this is how I learned that Hinsdale actually has a Starbucks. I had to drive there in the dark, in the early morning, in the pouring rain. Didn't really know where I was going. Like, when I got there, I had to park in front of the shop and kind of figure out where I was and be like, okay, sir, this is 3-hour parking. Where am I supposed to park? Like, I'm here for at least 6 hours. Like, where am I supposed to go? And then I realized I had to pull up on Google Maps that there was a parking lot right down the street. Google Maps said it was free. That was a lie. You did have to pay for it, unless you lived in Hinsdale. I do not, so I had to pay. It was kind of disappointing. Like, I get it, suburbs, I do get it, but would it kill you to have some free parking for visitors? For real? Like, there is no free parking at all in that town unless you live there, so... I mean, I guess where was it? Oak Park is not different. Oak Park is exactly the same. But, you know, the only public transportation to Oak Park from here is the bus. And the bus takes about 2 hours to get 5 miles. And then to Hinsdale, I can always take the train. But the train schedule doesn't really coordinate very well with much. Especially since it's going away from Chicago. Let's see. I'm trying to think of other things to talk about. So it's more than a 10-minute episode. Gotta get my cat to the vet. His jaw is really not looking good, especially inside on his gums. I don't know what happened. Money is tight, so I don't know what to do. My dog is getting old. She needs to go to the vet. The only one doing good is Marley. It's been raining all day. It's a very rainy day. I'm actually afraid to go upstairs. I'm not going to lie. Just in case it's awful and leaking. I just don't want to see it. I talked to my neighbor last week, and what I discovered is, you know, as much as I very much like my neighbor, he is very much a city boy, and he didn't know, apparently, forgive me, I have to pause, my phone is ringing. I'm sorry, everybody, it was my husband calling. I don't even remember what we were talking about. I should probably go back and check, but I'm not going to. I'm very tired. I've been up since 3, and, yeah, it's catching up. Anyway, probably going to walk my dogs here in a couple minutes, too, now that it stopped storming and raining and, you know, I don't know. I have no clue what we were talking about. I might have been talking about, oh, yeah, I think I was complaining about my yard because that's what I do. So our neighbors are wonderful. The neighbors that used to own our house, they're two of the nicest people I ever met. Their older daughter seems so lovely and sweet. She's helped us out so many times. They both have, the adults as well. And what I'm realizing is he's very much a city boy. He was walking around the yard with me the other week and kind of showing me, like, hey, this is how we take care of this garden. You need to take care of this and take care of that. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, you know, we're having this little problem with the erosion. He's like, what erosion? And I was like, the erosion here. This is all erosion. And he was like, oh, no, I don't think so. Like, yeah. See where there's no grass and it looks like it's all washing downhill, the mud, away from the house and everything? That's all erosion. And, yeah, it was just kind of funny realizing. I realized this last week, and he cannot stand it, our neighbor slash former owner of the home. We have Creeping Charlie, like, everywhere. Like, everywhere I look, there's more Creeping Charlie. And I am team, get the Creeping Charlie out of your flower beds, but don't, like, pull it all. Because Creeping Charlie, when you leave it alone, is actually a really good pollinator. It attracts pollinators, even because people have picked it and destroyed it so much because it's not what they want to see. Its pollinating power is pretty much gone by the wayside. Now it's a pollinating lottery. But it's actually a great non-mow lawn cover, and it looks gorgeous when you leave it be. Like, I am team leave it alone and just let it be. I am team natural landscape. Don't, like, as far as that out, as far as lawns go, I don't see the point of having grass when it's not even supposed to be in the area in the first place. I rather much have clover. I rather have Creeping Charlie. Creeping Charlie, by the way, is part of the mint family. So, yes, it takes over very easily. Very quickly. And it's freaking everywhere. The birds carry it everywhere. He was also complaining about raccoons bringing all these random seeds and junk. And I was just like, yeah, it's not the raccoons. That's your bird seed that you fed the birds. That's what's bringing it. Like, you know, raccoons definitely eat it and probably carry it, but it's birds. Birds actually are the biggest issue. Chipmunk squirrels, they are the biggest issue with getting seeds and stuff planted where you don't want them. So, you know, fun nature fact there. If you're going to have bird feeders, expect things to grow that you don't necessarily want. It was just kind of a funny conversation, realizing, like, oh, wow, you're blaming the raccoons, but it's not. And then I found out in this tree outside our window that actually kind of looks moderately unhealthy and might need to come down. that there's raccoons in it, like living in it, and they knew about it and done nothing. It's like, okay, so clearly you don't know. Raccoons are actually pretty volatile little creatures, but okay. So yeah, it's funny. I lived out in the country my entire youth. I think I saw a raccoon once, right? Now when I moved into my condo with Phil, now before Phil, sorry, my husband, by the way, saw raccoons occasionally. There was a family or a lady and her mother behind us that fed all creatures, including raccoons. The raccoons lived in her bushes, which I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then when I moved in with Phil, I started watching some shows that maybe I shouldn't have, and I realized raccoons are awful, terrible little creatures that will eat your face and, you know, rip out your muscles, like, literally. And, you know, and then I started seeing the raccoons around Phil's house in Bendorf, like, oh my god, they're fucking mean as hell. Excuse my language. And then we move here, and, like, there's raccoons everywhere. Like, this is the most urban area I've ever lived, and there are more raccoons in two blocks of my home than there were ever when I lived out in the country. So, you know, it's been a trip. It's been a trip. Let's see. But I'm going to wrap this up. So, fun things I ate. When I was at Tony's today, what I ate was, and I'm sorry, I'm so sorry about the tangents, guys. As I've said numerous times, it gets so much worse when I'm tired. So much worse. I can't help it. I just can't help it. La la la. Oh yeah, we're also back on the gardening track. We're gonna plant an edible garden. This year we're just starting off with berries in a basic garden. But the plan is to eventually just have a fully edible perennial garden where we don't have to do a lot of extra planting except for some vegetable beds. I found out also last week when my neighbor was walking me around and showing me like how to care for the garden, found out that there used to be a big butterfly garden here. I'm like, I probably would have left the butterfly garden and not ripped it out for more grass, because that is actually better for the environment to have more pollinators coming in, and a lot of those plants are actually quite edible. So, you know, that difference of opinions there, like, I would have left that alone. It also would have helped, but it feels like there is a sinkhole. Actually, it feels like we might have multiple sinkholes, from bad drainage in our yard. So we have a big tree right by our garage, and it's always muddy back there. Like, every time it rains, it becomes a big puddle in our entire side yard. And he's like, well, it's because, you know, you have the house draining going right there. It's like, yeah, nope, it's the entire thing. It's not just where that lets out. The entire thing becomes a big mud hole, but, you know. And then back by the garage, the walkway, like today when I got out of the car, giant puddles. I couldn't avoid them. It's like, okay, well, if I want to get inside, I have to go through puddles no matter what. I'm starting to finally understand why so many people in Brookfield bitch about the drainage situation, because there isn't any. Like, our whole Gulf Road has no drainage along it. And then our yard didn't drain at all. It's like, okay, well, why does the yard have no drainage? I think there's a sinkhole in our backyard. I think there's a sinkhole on the right where there's another large tree. And they might not be sinkholes. It's just bad drainage. And hopefully if we catch it and take care of it, we can stop it from ever developing into a sinkhole. But that does mean, sadly, the cypress tree on the side of the house has to go. And I think it's a oak tree back here. But they both have to go in order to try and resolve the issues of having that kind of problem right next to our house. There's also these three pine tree things right outside my daughter's window. Very tall. They move a lot in the wind. They should go. And I'm not all about removing trees, but I am all about removing essentially giant shrubs or trees that don't belong here. And I'm also all about not having to worry about sinkholes. So, you know, here's some landscaping tips for anyone who ever decides to build a house. If you're going to plant trees, big trees especially, make sure they are planted more than 20 feet from your house. You do not want a tree where, one, it's going to be overhanging your home. Two, and I will tell you why. Insurance has something to say about it. If you have a big-ass tree and you build your house and then you plant that tree so close to your home, you know it can become a big species, insurance will not cover your home. They'll say, well, why didn't you take the tree down before it was a problem. Like, you had to know that tree was going to end up being a problem one way or the other, whether it be the root system or the tree dying. Like, you had to know. So, you know, not real fun. That's a fear Phil and I both have with a couple of trees in our property. It's like, at what point are these trees going to be a bigger problem? Trees also are usually a big component in sinkholes. They kill off the grass, like the turf, which creates mud, which doesn't hold water very well. The water seeps through the mud and slowly erodes and eats away at, usually in this area, it's like, I think, limestone underneath the mud. But eventually what happens is you have a giant hole where that limestone was. It really actually doesn't take very long to eat away at limestone, folks. Like, it takes a few decades, maybe. But, you know, these trees are at least, I'm guessing, about original to the house. Maybe they're only 60 years old. They could be 100 years old. I really don't know. Some of them, like the stupid shrubs that have gotten so tall, those, you know, one, they don't belong here. Two, they're not that old. They're probably from, like, the 70s, 80s, somewhere in there. Maybe even the 90s. But I'm guessing this, you know, they were super popular back in the 70s. So I'm guessing that's where they're from. But, yeah, this is suburban living, folks. You don't have to worry about this so much in the city. You know, and as you know, this podcast is not just about pastry school. It's about relocating and job changes and all this stuff. And, you know, this is part of relocating. You buy an older home. You got to deal with all the crazy stuff other people did. Like, I really like all my neighbors. I just wish, like, some days that I didn't like my former neighbors, my current neighbors, because they're the former owners. And, you know, how do you tell them, like, yeah, you guys, you know, you did some things and we're going to undo them. But anyway, guys, I'm going to let it go. I'm rambling. And I apologize for the rambles. Again, exhaustion, ADHD, what the hell ever. Anyway. Oh, good eats. So my good eats today, I got to eat for free at Tony's. I had my spring festival drink, which was a strawberry and coconut milk drink. It was very refreshing, very good. I also got to eat a ratatouille galette, and it was super delicious, very fresh. I will say one of the things I was very surprised about was the level of freezing, but then I saw high volume, like they are a very high volume bakery, so they kind of make a bunch of cakes and stuff and doughs all at once, like, shall we say, on Sunday to be used throughout the week. But yes, they do freeze it until they're ready to use it. So it's like, you know, it seems like a lot. But, you know, things don't sit in the freezer for months and months and months. It's rapid fire. Like, yeah, we made it Monday, but by, you know, within 2 Mondays of now, you're not going to know it was there. And they can keep it in there for like 6 months if they wanted to, but nothing lasts even a month. So it's like, okay, that makes sense. Still not a fan of it. Not a fan of the freezing, but I can understand if you're that high volume being like, hey, we make hundreds of them at a time, but also by the end of 2 weeks, we got to make more. I can understand that for sure. And they make more before they need more to make sure it's not a problem, because they also have a lot of last-minute orders, especially during the holidays. They, like, triple their production for the just-in-case. This isn't even just for orders. This is for the just-in-case, because so many last-minute orders during the holidays. But anyway, I also had to walk by Starbucks in Hinsdale, the only chain I saw, by the way, and got two drinks, because there was two drinks I was just curious about. I was like, when's the next time we're going to Starbucks? Like, never. I don't really go to Starbucks anymore. I try to do more local coffee shops. One, the more affordable. Two, the more affordable. Three, they're more affordable. And if it's not more affordable, I usually won't get it. And then if I do get it, I get really pissed off if it's not better than Starbucks. Like, if you're going to charge me this much, you better do something better than Hershey syrup is all I got to say. Where was it? I went, oh, like the Sugar Bliss place in Chicago, and I got a mocha, and she used syrup. Like Hershey's chocolate-flavored syrup, not even like actual chocolate syrup, Hershey's-flavored chocolate syrup. I was pretty pissed. I was like, I just paid as much for a mocha here as I would at Starbucks, and you're giving me Hershey's? No, no, no. And it just tasted like sugar. It was not a good one. But at Starbucks today, I got a blackberry sage lemonade refresher. Will get again. That is so tasty. But I also got their cherry chai. It is a new drink, and it's a cherry cold foam. Will not get again. It was actually very pleasant at the end of it. It was pretty gross at the beginning of it. Yeah. No, I have no need to ever drink that again. It was very sweet. The cherry tasted pretty fake. And I'm not saying, like, I think it's maraschino cherries that I saw them grinding up. So, like, they grind real cherries for it. I just, no thanks. I'm not down with that. So people probably love it. They probably think it's amazing. It's just not for me. But, okay. I hope everyone has a good week. I will probably try to record again next Friday or Saturday after the end of week one of cake decorating. It's going to be a rough week. So hopefully next Friday when I get home from school, I have plenty of time to sit here and record and cry about how hard it is. It's a 2-week long class. Hopefully my environmental freaking sustainable class for hospitality isn't as hard as it seems, because right now it just seems really rough. But I hope everyone has a good one. I hope people start listening and sharing. I got Facebook, I got email. My email only gets junk, so that's kind of sad. The Facebook, you know, not too many people have checked into it, and the people who did kind of check into it, no one actually like follows the page for, you know, those paid advertisements. They just hit like. So, you know, I'm not paying for that anymore. But anyway, have a good one. It's about 3:00 on April 2nd. So hopefully talk to you all in about a week.